All right, let's talk to Jesus. Lord, we are grateful to be here today. Grateful to share your word. Thankful for what you've done, that we're able to be here today. Father, take your word now. Apply it to our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. What effect does your faith have on others? The title of the message is How to Treat Others. There's some who claim Christ is their Savior, but the way they treat other people, it just doesn't match their claim. As parents, how do you live your life in front of your children? Or do your children think you're a hypocrite? Because when you go to church, you act one way, and when you get outside the walls, you act quite a different way. And they'll eventually grow up to the point to where they don't think they need church because it sure didn't do nothing for mom and dad. Did you ever think about that? It's very important that you live the same life outside these walls as you do inside them. Very important. Have I always done that? No. I'll be the first one to tell you. We talk about pet peeves, things that push our buttons. And we all have them. I'll share one that I have. It's still an irritation to me. And it don't matter whether it's a grocery store or a big box store. You know what big box stores are without mentioning names. One of my pet peeves is if they have 10 to 15 registers, why do they always have just one open? I could have saved that company a lot of money. They wouldn't have had to purchase all those registers. Because they don't use them anyway. And you talk about ticking me off. When I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And I don't like to be back here somewhere among the plumbing, standing in line to be waited on. Now, it happened to me one time in the grocery store, and I just left the cart set and took off. Fine pastor you are. Now, well, wait a minute. That was before God called me to be a pastor. Don't you pick on me that quick. Does it still bother me? Yes. But I've been working on it. I haven't left any grocery carts sitting, so now when you see them in the store, you say, Roger was here. No, he wasn't. That's the stockman putting stuff back that people decided he didn't want. Pet peeves. Things that really push your button. I'm not always friendly with telemarketers. I told one telemarketer, why don't you get a real job? Now, just supposing, what if that happened to be a Christian lady or a Christian man that happened to be employed by the telemarketing people? Huh? Could have been. Was I kind? Not really. Don't you think we should be the same outside the walls as we are inside the walls? Now, I just told you that none of us do this perfectly. None of us in here are perfect, but we're forgiven. We are forgiven. And God gives us another chance at it. I'm glad he does, because I need a bunch of them. I need a bunch of chances to work at it. Our reputation outside and inside the church should reflect the life of Christ within each and every one of us. And if we don't live out what we believe, we are missing what God intends for us. The church is supposed to be a witness to the world. Not only is it to be a witness to the world, it's also to be a haven of safety for the ingathering of believers, such as we have this morning. Jesus said it this way, by this shall just the men that go to church will know. No. Let me say it the way he said it. By this shall all men know. That's outside these walls. You see, he's not willing that any should perish. Well, if they don't believe, they're going to go to hell. Well, yes, that's a fact. But we need to do as much as we can to prevent that from happening. We need to do all we can to keep those poor people from going to hell. Because God don't want them to go there, and neither should we. That all men may know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. John 13:35. And so when Peter wrote his first letter, he explained it here, how believers should be responding to the various people that they will encounter in their life. And he wrapped it all up with these words. To sum it up, all of you should be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. You see, these are the qualities that Christians need to possess. So the first one, let's take, if you're there in 1 Peter 3:8, where I'm getting my first point, is all of one mind. Well, I can tell you, you're not all going to agree perfectly on everything. I can tell you that right now. I hate rap music. And I don't mind telling you, and it don't matter whether it's worldly or Christian rap. It's all rap to me, and I don't like any of it. So we can't always agree with everything. But it's okay. We can agree that Jesus is my Savior. Could you agree with me there? See, yes. That's where we become unity. That's where we become in harmony. We'll never agree with all the other stuff. That just goes without saying. There's just a lot of things we'll never agree on. Can't agree. Churches can't agree on the color of the carpet. So what else is new? So what? That's material things anyway. Don't worry about it. Let's make sure that we agree on what is important. We need to agree on what is important. And so we need to be in harmony with one another. That doesn't mean that we're all going to agree on every interpretation and every application of Scripture and every approach to ministry. We all have our different ideas and concepts of that. But the body of Christ consists of all these kinds, with differing personalities and perspectives and spiritual gifts and interests. And each one is essential. Like a musical composition with various parts, the differing harmonies in the church give depth and richness to the body of Christ. But if we don't have the unity of the Spirit as our conductor, we'll all be singing our own tune, and it'll sound like nothing but chaos and discord. Wouldn't you agree? Absolutely. So how are we going to work on this? Well, that's what I'm working on. Be patient. I'm getting there. Paul described it like this. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. And when we've all yielded to the Spirit's leading, we'll have His power and His grace, and we'll be able to behave as those who bear His name. Amen? Second, Peter says we need to be sympathetic. It's more than just expressing words of comfort. It means being willing to suffer with those who are hurting. Come alongside of them in their time of need and pain and help them to bear that burden. And it requires a self-sacrificial attitude. Wouldn't we all much rather rejoice with those who rejoice? Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be great. Doesn't work that way. We need to also weep with those who weep. That's not as easy. But we're called to do that. We're called to do that. Romans 12, 15 has penned that. Sympathy is an important characteristic. In the gospel, it has many accounts repeatedly where Jesus felt compassion for the people, and he did what he could to relieve their suffering. Shouldn't we do the same? The third quality we need to have in our relationships with one another is love. It's love, brotherly love. Romans 12:10. It describes it as devotion to one another, as if we were in the same family. Are you listening? Aren't we really in the same family? You treat people differently in your own physical family. Shouldn't you treat them the same in God's spiritual family? I think so. Because we are God's household. We are members of God's household. And the one who teaches us to love is our Heavenly Father. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 10. It's our responsibility to practice. And we need to be excelling in loving of our fellow believers. Not just the ones that we like. All of them. Our common bond is not our own interests, our own personalities, or our own preferences. See, it's always easy to find somebody that agrees with everything that you like. We need to love everyone, whether they agree with me or not. That's what we're called to do. Our goal is not to receive the credit for whatever we do. We need to serve one another without recognition. And then, number four, we need to be kind-hearted. Have we always been kind-hearted? Oh, there's, like I mentioned, when we get our buttons pushed, we're not so kind-hearted, are we? No. I wouldn't give opportunity for any of you to tell me some of your buttons that push you, because we'd be here till the cows come home. You see, we're all different. We all have things that really irritate us. They just irritate us. And that's all right. It's normal. It's normal to have these things. We just need to work on them. We're beneath a new creature in Christ. When we ask Jesus to come into our heart, the Bible says old things have passed away. Brother Roger, I don't think all things have quite passed away. I still have a few of them yet. Well, that's the old nature. But you see, in salvation, at that very moment, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he forgave you of all those things, every one of them. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to spend a lifetime on working on those. See, that part I understand. I was a little confused when I was growing up in our church that whenever I fell a little short of that, I thought I lost my salvation. I didn't. But I fell short. And I understand it now. Because I still do some of the things that God's not happy with. But I didn't lose my salvation. But I can tell you what I do. I ask Jesus to forgive me again. And give me another shot at it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to try to do better. I want to be holy. I want him to be happy with me. I want him to be pleased with me. I want to try to be more like him. And I'm working on it, as we all should be able to work on it. It's the opposite of being harsh. To be kind-hearted, the opposite is being harsh and insensitive, self-centered, and uncaring is the opposite. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ has forgiven you. In all of our interactions, we should seek to do good to others, treat them graciously, and don't hold grudges. It flows from our heart. God seeks to please in our relationships, and we need to have Christ in our relationships. People need to sense Jesus in our relationships. Finally, we must be humble in spirit. Nothing can hamper our relationship like pride. We need to have a modest opinion of ourselves. It'll keep us from being self-centered and self-seeking. Instead of focusing on ourselves, we need to put others first and consider them as more important. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Our goal is not to receive the credit, but we need to serve one another as Christ has served us. And if all these qualities characterize us, it certainly will affect our interactions with one another. It's easy to get along with those who are kind in return. But the real test, you see, comes when there's conflicts. That's the real test. And we must choose to not act like the world. The world trades insult for insult or takes revenge. But we're called to be a blessing and to bless those who what? Who curse you, who despitefully use you. Pray for them. Love them. It's hard, but that's what we're called to do. Don't return evil for evil. Believers should be known as peacemakers, not troublemakers. There should not be a trail of criticism left behind, nor should there be dissension or disharmony. We have to seek the pathway of reconciliation and peace. And that's how we are to walk, in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, to reflect Jesus in our attitudes and in our words and in our actions. In all three of those things, are you showing Jesus? Think about that when your buttons are pushed. I hear of fast cars going from 0 to 60 in a few seconds. When somebody pushes that button, you go from 0 to 60 with your anger. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Works the same way. Work on it. We all have things in our life that we have to work on. Every one of us. And we need the Lord to help us. So as we consider our relationships, I want us to remember that how we treat others is a very powerful witness, and certainly an example to those here in the church. Our Sunday school lesson talked about God's people profaning his name before the heathen. We can profane his name before the unbelievers in the same way, by not acting Christ-like when we're with others, not just those of our believers here in the church. We can profane his name among the heathen as well, by not letting Jesus shine through our lives. Sometimes God will put us in situations of conflict so he can demonstrate through us his mercy. Think about that. Some Bible that some people will only read is you. How's your Bible reading? Is it reading true? How is your Bible reading to others? Could you invite them to church after your dealings with them? If you can't, you mustn't have had a very good dealing with them. You need to work on it. He can demonstrate his mercy, his grace, his love, and also his forgiveness. Difficult relationships are not a curse, but they can be a blessing if we respond humbly, compassionate, and with a kind spirit, we'll be able to bless others as well. Would you bow your heads? I want to have a short prayer with you. Brother Roger, you'll be honest. I've not been outside these walls quite like I should be. Would you be honest enough to raise your hand? Wow. I'm going to put mine up with you. Amen. Anyone else want to get on this? I think everybody in here raised their hand. The Lord's going to do a wonderful work in your life because you're willing to admit it. Now let me pray. Heavenly Father, as I put my hand up as well, I've not always been as good as I should be. And I get impatient sometimes with situations and very much embarrassed and ashamed at my actions. I think back of sometimes some things I've said and sometimes some of my actions wasn't very honorable. I surely would have profaned your name. And for that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. And Lord, you've seen the hands that went up today. I know now why this message needed to be shared. Thank you, Lord, for the acknowledgement of all these dear brothers and sisters, young men and young girls who have acknowledged that they need your help. We're not always as good as we should be. Thank you, Lord, for each and every hand that was raised. Lord, help us to do better. If there's anyone here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, invite him into your heart today. Simply ask him to forgive you of your sins and invite him to come and live in your heart, that from this day forward, you want to live for him. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to take the anointing service right now.